It's the last week of the legislative session, and survivors of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting and their families are wielding a rare influence over gun safety legislation. But when a bus full of them came to Tallahassee for a lobby day last week, they found the legislative process to be confusing and at times upsetting. WLRN's Jessica Bakeman shadowed a student and her mom during their 12 hours at the Capitol.
Elise Claprood and her daughter Annabelle arrive at the Florida Capitol with a schedule, a map, and a mission. Annabelle's a sophomore at Stoneman Douglas. She goes by Annie. And she and her mom want state lawmakers to know she has a right to be safe at school.
Members, the Appropriations Committee will come to order. Cheryl, please call the roll.
Their first stop is the House Appropriations Committee, 9 a.m. They sit on the aisle so Elise can duck out later for a meeting with the governor.
I think on behalf of the entire committee, our heartfelt condolences.
That's Chair Carlos Trujillo. He's a Republican from Miami.
None of us can really imagine the amount of pain that you're going through.
The committee is taking up a comprehensive gun safety bill that's working its way through the legislature. It adds a 3-day waiting period before someone can buy a gun, and it raises the minimum age for buying a gun from 18 to 21. The Parkland families like that. They don't like the part of the bill that would allow some teachers to carry guns, but they're willing to accept it in order to get the rest, especially because they don't think it'll ever happen in Broward County. The bill gives both the sheriff and the school board the power to block it.
Members, we have multiple amendments on this bill.
The committee has to debate 17 amendments, and it takes hours. Some of the Parkland parents have to leave, so the committee lets them speak out of turn. Andrew Pollock's daughter, Meadow, was killed in the shooting.
We send our children to school where someone could just walk in with a gun and kill our kids. I can't tell you how much pain is running through my body.
And Alex Schachter's dad, Max, whose own father stands next to him, rubbing his back while he speaks.
If we would have had these measures in place, I would not have to have buried my son next to his mother a week and a half ago.
We do have 20 minutes for all debate.
Later, the committee finally takes up the full bill. Elise Claprood and her daughter, Annie, a Stoneman Douglas sophomore, get in line to speak.
12 days ago, 18 hours and 56 minutes ago, I was on the floor scared for my life because someone walked into my school with an automatic weapon. I was in the first classroom that the shooter approached. I saw everything. I thank you for putting this bill together so fast to help keep me, my friends, and my teachers safe. I have a right to life, and so do all of the children. Someone my age shouldn't have seen what I've seen. I shouldn't have had to step over my friends to leave the building.
I'm Elise Claprood. I'm the mother of that brave child, Annabelle, that just spoke to you. So I'm here today as a mommy.
And then Elise's main message.
The adults failed the children. We have an opportunity to not fail them again.
The bill's sponsor is Representative Jose Oliva, a Republican from Miami Lakes. He's set to be the House Speaker next year. Oliva proposes an amendment that takes the Parkland parents by surprise. It would require sheriffs to develop training programs for teachers who want to carry guns. When the parents first hear this, they're confused and then angry. They say Oliva himself assured them during dinner just the night before that the bill would more or less stay the same. The amendment passes, and the parents talk amongst themselves. What just happened? It sinks in a little later.
They literally left that room and changed everything in the middle of the night.
Elise Claprood says between meetings with legislators.
So we feel distrust, confused, and terrified. We're entrusting the system to save our children, and they're playing games.
Later, I ask Oliva about the amendment, and he says it wasn't as big of a deal as everyone was making it out to be. It would still be up to school boards whether teachers would be allowed to carry guns. But since sheriffs would be compelled to participate, they would need to have the training programs ready for interested teachers if at any point their local school boards decide to opt in.
What we've tried to explain to parents is that this is a process, and so we've brought them into the process.
After the committee meeting, Elise and her daughter Annie pick up boxed lunches in the Capitol cafeteria, sandwiches, chips, and cookies. Elise tells Annie she has food in her hair and then pulls the morsel out. They laugh.
There's seats back there. Do you want to sit back here?
There's one back there. Yep.
Next, there's a meeting with Senator Gary Farmer. He's a Democrat from Fort Lauderdale who has worked with Parkland students and their parents on advocating for gun control since the shooting. The senator has political advice for the parents. Don't waste the leverage you have right now by supporting a bill that's not perfect. Hold out for something better.
I refuse to believe that it's not possible. Things are different now because of what happened last week. This has hit people so close to home.
Farmer reads a handwritten letter out loud to them. It's from a woman who says her friend's grandson survived the shooting. The account is disturbing, and many in the room are crying by the end, including the senator.
I'm in this fight with you guys. We're not going to let nothing pass. But don't commit to a product. Get more. Because this won't stop.
A Parkland parent whose daughter is almost in middle school starts to see their dinner with lawmakers the night before a little differently. This is Robin Lindenberg.
I'm almost feeling a little used from last night when they said, hey, you guys, get out there, give us your tears, give us your support.
The parents, feeling more and more upset, huddle in the hallway after the meeting. They're not sure if they should be more aggressive. They resent that they have to be making these calculations when, as they see it, their children's lives are at risk. When it's time for dinner, they walk to a park near the Capitol where the Parkland families will be having a catered meal. It's been a long day, and Elise says she just hopes it'll mean some wins for Parkland.
But the process is definitely grueling and difficult to navigate when you're a visitor.
After dinner, a candlelight vigil on the steps of the Capitol. Florida A&M University's choir is singing. Elise hugs another parent tightly. Someone hands out candles. It's windy and they're struggling to keep them lit. The organizer asks Annie to help with reading the names of the victims.
Peter Wang.
After the vigil, the parents wait for the bus to take them back to their hotel. The next day, they'll go home. Elise came to Tallahassee to bring the message. The adults failed the children, and they need to do something to fix it. She leaves feeling like they'll definitely do something, but she doesn't know what. I'm Jessica Bakeman in Tallahassee.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Bridget O'Brien.